Good Monday morning. It is time now for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And here are your hosts, WK and Ken Boyce. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, everyone.
You know, mother entered her daughter's bedroom and she saw a letter on the bed, and with the worst premonition, she reads it with trembling hands. It says, "Dear Mom, it is with great regret and sorrow that I'm telling you that I eloped with my boyfriend. I found real passion, and he is so nice with all his piercings and tattoos and his big motorcycle. But it's not only that, Mom. I'm pregnant. And he said that we will be very happy in his trailer in the woods. He wants to have many more children with me, and that's one of my dreams. I've learned that marijuana doesn't hurt anyone, and we'll be growing it for us and his friends who are providing us with all the cocaine and ecstasy we may want. In the meantime, we'll pray for the science to find the AIDS cure, for him to get better, because he deserves it. Don't worry, Mom. I'm 15 years old now, and I know how to take good care of myself. Someday I'll visit you so that you can know your grandchildren. Love, your daughter. P.S. Mom, it's not true. I'm over at the neighbor's house. I just wanted to show you that there are worse things in life than the report card that's in my desk drawer. I love you." You know, what we perceive to be real is what causes our feelings in life. What we believe to be real is exactly how our feelings come along. That's how we're made. That's how God made us. And this morning, as we talk about conflict and avoiding conflict and being assertive, I want us to understand that our feelings get in the way many times of our assertiveness and our need to assert ourselves into the moment of our life. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. If you would like to discuss with us assertiveness, then call us this morning at 862-9977 or 1-800-375-0056 or on the cell phone star 56.
You know, over the past couple of weeks, we've talked a lot about the value of counseling. Back from July 16th to July 30th, we had a two-part show. And as we continue out of that, and if you hadn't had a chance to listen to that or if you missed that, the thing that we do here is archived. You can go to springfieldmfi.com. So Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. So springfieldmfi.com. Go to the radio archives, and you can go back and listen to the previous shows. They're edited and posted there. So if you missed something, feel free to go back and visit. As we've been discussing, and as we're continuing on from last week, the show is The Life You've Always Wanted, and that starts, the first thing it starts with is me. It starts with empowered living. It starts with realizing I have value, this is my life, I have the right to pursue the happiness. I have the right to stand up for myself. And in so many times, we let life and we let the things around us take over. We let things that appear to be real take over that aren't, such as the story this morning. That's the definition of fear, false evidence appearing real.
That's a good definition.
And last week as we came out, and I want to go back over this, this is part of the philosophy of freedom. This is standing up for oneself. I am entitled to the truth, dignity, and respect, and courtesy as every human being. Freedom requires that I stand up for these principles in my life. By not standing up for my principles, I'm encouraging the other person to continue treating me the way they've always been, reinforcing their behavior. When I stand up for my principles, I will not be resentful of people who stand up for theirs.
That's exactly right, yes.
We're equal. It is unavoidable and undesirable to live my life without hurting someone's feelings. You want to elaborate on that one?
It is absolutely unavoidable, undesirable to live our lives without hurting someone's feelings. Many of us are conditioned, we are literally trained, as we grow up, to avoid hurting someone's feelings. In fact, as a child, if we hurt someone's feelings, we're told, tell that person you're sorry. When in fact, we're not sorry. I'm not sorry I hurt their feelings. Now, there's a difference in hurting someone and hurting their feelings. There's a difference in harming somebody and hurting their feelings. Because we hurt somebody's feelings doesn't mean that we're wrong. It doesn't mean that we intended to do that. It simply means I may have spoken the truth and they didn't like it.
Sometimes the truth hurts.
Many times the truth hurts. Many times the truth hurts. There's a McDonald's commercial on right now. about being honest, about these two guys meeting at McDonald's and they're working in the same office and they don't know each other, don't want to know each other, don't really care about each other, but they meet each other and have to greet each other as though kind of interested. It's just talking about telling the truth, just being honest. That's being played on today because so many people do not have a clue about what their truth is. This morning, do you know what your truth is? Do you know what your thoughts are and your feelings and your wants and your desires and your expectations, what you will accept and what you will not accept? And the willingness to give that to somebody, to share those with other people. When we stand up and when we say those things, it is unavoidable to not hurt somebody's feelings because they don't want you to think that way or to feel that way. But that's exactly how you do think and feel. It's not a matter of intentionally hurting people's feelings, but it is a matter of stating the truth about our thoughts and feelings.
By not appropriately expressing myself, I may be allowing things to build up inside, which will result in an inappropriate and harmful response later.
Usually it's an explosion.
Yeah, some of us hold our anger back to the end. Being polite out of fear of being offensive and hiding my discontent with the situation or behavior of another is a sure way of either destroying the relationship or preventing one from ever forming. I think that comes out of what we've been talking about. Not letting others know what I think and feel is a form of selfishness. It's a lack of self-respect.
Yes.
When I don't tell someone what I think, I deny them the opportunity to change or to understand. And the last one, and this is one that gets everyone, I think, at some point in their life. When I stand up for my principles, I will not suffer the regret of what I wish I had said or done. Now, most of us find ourselves just on the opposite side of that. Most of the time, it's when we didn't stand up for our principles, we feel the regret. All the things we should have said, all the things we could have said, all the things we could have done, and we didn't, because we didn't stand up for what was right, didn't stand up for ourselves. And we spend the rest of our life wishing we could go back to that day and make a difference.
And we replay that regret over and over in our mind. We become obsessed with it because we haven't taken advantage of an opportunity to be present in that moment. You know, we are human beings. We are human beings created in God's image, and the name of God is I am being who I am being. I am that I am. And because we are like Him, we have to be present in the moment. And the regret is, I had the opportunity, and I didn't assert myself into that opportunity to say what I really thought and how I really felt.
One of the best examples I can think of this year was from the movie Braveheart.
Oh, yeah, great movie.
Great movie. Standing out on the field of battle, and they've assembled. Here comes the English, and they're numbering by the thousands. The ground is shaking from the heavy horse that are coming. And all of a sudden, Scots are going, I didn't come here to fight for them so they can have more land. I'm out of here. And he stands up and says, what will you do without freedom? It's a fantastic speech in the middle of this movie, talking about this very thing. You leave the situation today, but how many days will you give up between here and there, and you're lying in your bed and you're dying, that you wish you could come back to this moment in time? That's that regret. And he addressed it right at that. It was a fantastic point where it's a moment of truth, a moment of decision. Will you stand up for yourself, for your country, and for your family? Or will you wish you had the rest of your life?
Yes, or will you stand up for your children? Will you stand up against those who are berating your children or those who are abusing your children? Or will you stand up for your children and make sure that they are taken care of? Will you stand in the relationship? Will you stand up and stand in this moment? That's what we're talking about. That's what being assertive is. It's allowing others to know who we are at this moment in our life. Now, that doesn't mean that how we think or how we feel may change tomorrow or next week. But at this moment, this is what my beliefs are. These are what my values are. This is what I think. This is how I feel. This is what I expect. This is what I will accept, what I will not accept. And I am present in this moment, and I am someone to be contended with. That's assertiveness. That's not aggressiveness. That's assertiveness. Aggressiveness is stating what you think and feel without regard of anyone else, or simply to abuse someone else. Assertiveness is being present in this moment, punctuating yourself, asserting yourself in this moment of your life. A college professor wrote the words, "A woman without her man is nothing." He wrote it on the chalkboard, and he asked his students to punctuate it correctly. All the boys in the class wrote, a woman, comma, without her man, comma, is nothing. All the girls in the class wrote, a woman, colon, without her, comma, man is nothing. It's a matter of punctuation. And men and women punctuate ourselves differently. Males and females assert ourselves differently, but we need to do that equally. How many times, ladies, has a boy, when you were young, has a boy said something that just made your blood boil, but you didn't say a word? Or he did something that just offended you, but you didn't say anything because, you know, sweet girls don't say anything. Or how many times, guys, has somebody said something to you and you felt shame from the top of your head down to the tips of your toenails, but you didn't say a word because you were ashamed or you were fearful or you were embarrassed or whatever the reason was? And how many times, men and women, have you regretted not standing up at that moment? We all have times that we wish we could go back and just relive it. Just one time. Because this is what I would say, this is what I would do. Punctuation. We cannot live our lives without punctuation. We have to define ourselves in this moment, to be ourselves in the presence of each other. In this one concept of intimacy that we've talked about in this program. Do you have instances in your life that you have been fearful, but you have stood up and stood out and defined yourself? Can you think of times in your life, whether growing up years or adult years, married or single, that you have taken a stand and you felt really good when you finally did it? You faced your fear and you let people know what you thought and how you felt about it, and you felt really, really good. That's assertiveness. We feel empowered. We feel real. We feel known. We feel understood. We feel accepted and valued. There's a concept I want you to grasp, that as a licensed counselor that I work with people, it's not important that people like you. It is important that they respect you. Now grab hold of that. It is not important that people like you. It is absolutely important that they respect you. And the only way they will respect you is if you stand up and allow yourself to be known. Punctuate the present moment. And they may not like it. Their feelings may be hurt. They may oppose what you believe. And they may oppose it loudly. And you stand your ground. But you will never be respected if you never speak up, if you allow people to always walk over you and walk on you. And you think that you are placating people and you're getting along with people and you have peace because you're not saying anything? God did not put anybody here to be a doormat.
If you stand up for yourself and they have the respect, if you show who you really are, and then they like you, then they really like you.
Absolutely.
And they have respect for you.
That's the idea.
Now, if I don't show who I am, if I don't stand up for what I am, because I don't want them to not like me, then they didn't see me in the first place. No matter how much I think they like me, they don't know me. They can't like me. What a tangled web we weave.
Absolutely. People cannot like us if they don't know us. I know that people are listening today who've been married 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. And you think that your husband, your spouse, your wife like you or love you, even though you have not really opened up and said anything that you truly believe for all these years, because you don't want to stir the waters, because you don't want to upset anybody? I want you to know something. Peace, in the scriptural sense of peace, and many people believe our Christian duty, our Christian responsibility, is to have peace at all costs. But peace is not the absence of conflict. That is not what is being talked about. Peace is desiring the right relationship with other people and doing what we can do to be known, to have that peace, to be known, and to have that person desire to fulfill our needs. And it's not peace at any cost. Paul said in Romans 12, as far as it lies within you, be at peace with all people. But it's not at any cost. It is standing up. It is asserting ourselves into this moment. Someone once said that the only thing we regret at the end of our life is not taking advantage of opportunities in our life. And when we have a crisis in our life, when we have a hard time in our life, we have to stand up because that is an opportunity to change the situation. And the more we assert ourselves realistically, authentically, truthfully in that relationship, the more things can change.
I was just thinking with this peace at any cost, at all cost. Peace at all cost is surrender.
That's exactly what it is.
We surrender ourselves. We have some people that want us to surrender during war. Just if we get rid of all the guns and we get rid of everything else, we'll have peace. That's surrender. And we teach this to our kids. I have two instances. When you were asking the question a while ago, is there some point in your life when you stood up and you remembered it?
Mm-hmm.
And there are two examples. One's in my life and one's an example of a friend's life. My friend has a daughter. She's 7 years old. And she's going to elementary school. She has gotten picked on this bully who's a couple grades higher for just days and weeks on end. Finally, she decided to stand up for herself. So she got a bunch of other kids together, went out to the playground. He started picking on her. They picked up rocks, and she's yelling, "Aim for the head."
7 years old.
7 years old. Aim for the head. Aim for the head. The principal called in my friend and said, "This incident happened on our playground, and this is what your daughter did." And my friend said, "Well, good." And she's absolutely right. Her daughter had a right to stand up for herself. She stood up against a bully. Now, some people didn't like it. But you get enough kids together, that bully's not going to pick on anyone. Anyone. Because now he's got respect for everyone, or at least a good sense of fear.
Which is the beginning of respect.
But it is the beginning of respect.
Yeah.
And her daughter has respect for herself. Her daughter stood up for herself. Her daughter said, "You know, I may not be able to take him on by myself. I got help. We took him out. Go get him." In my own life, I remember they opened up the roller rink in a little town called Cisco, Texas, just outside Abilene. And we were absolutely having a ball. Like, other than throwing rocks, there was nothing to do in Cisco. Okay? So when they opened this up, this was a place to go. And there was a kid that was out of high school. I couldn't have been more than 13 or 14. This kid was 19, three times my size. Myself and my friends, we're just having fun. We're skating backwards. We're doing all kinds of figure eights and stuff, just having a ball on wheels. And apparently he was either jealous or whatever, decided to start picking on us. And I was skating backward. As I came around him, I gave him a wide berth, trying to keep away from him. He grabbed a hold of my shirt and ripped it. Tried to grab a hold of me. I spun around. As I came back around, he went to grab a hold of me again, and it was on. The guy was three times my size, in every waist, height, he was enormous. I could have been more than 120 pounds. He had to have been pushing 270, just a big guy. And yet we went down on the ground. I did what I could. I rolled up, and I took my truck skate. I hit him square in the crotch and square in the nose. And we went at it. But I defended and stood my ground. And that's one moment in my life when I was back and go, you know, that was against all odds, period. But I stood it. Alex stood hers. You know, 7-year-old, she stood her ground. We have to be able to identify and stand up for ourselves. We have Don in Springfield. Don, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm glad you got the program Life You Always Wanted, because you said even on your promos, you say you didn't discuss politics. But getting back to some of you, you brought up several interesting subjects that I've heard on Christian radio and secular talk shows over the years, the last 20 years. You know, when you stand up for something, you got to use a little tact, because I stood up for moral issues when Jerry Falwell had the moral majority, and I was going absolute, you know, over. Mm-hmm. But I believe in prayer in schools. I'm against abortion. I stood up against pornography, carried picket signs in front of City Hall.
That's good. That's exactly what we have to stand up. We have to stand up and have a voice.
People need to pray for our leaders and for our nation, because we're facing troublous times, and I heard it was as far as resentment that you brought up and anger and standing up for yourself. I've heard Charles Stanley say that some people are like a ticking time bomb they haven't dealt with in their life. Anger, bitterness, hate, deep-seated resentment. You know, people need to deal with it, especially the Christian communities. We have Christians today living like the world.
And that's the thing. We have to be able to take what life has at us. We have to learn how to take care of it and to be able to address that. Standing up for ourselves, being in a positive nature, being in the nature of Christ. We have to be able to. Even Christ, when he went to the temple and saw what was going there, cleared the temple.
Yeah, he drove out the money changers.
Exactly.
Jesus wasn't a wimp.
Don, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Don. The freedom that we have in this country, this freedom is not to do what we want. When we talk about assertiveness, we are not talking about just doing anything we want to do. We're talking about being who we need to be.
And standing up for what's right.
That's right.
And we'll be back. Toma. T-O-M-A. What's your Toma? Did you know it's worth billions? Hi, this is Ken Boyce, marketing director with the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and co-host of the radio show, The Life You've Always Wanted, heard here each Monday morning at 10 a.m. What's your Toma? Let's find out. Who's the richest man in the world? What's the number one soda company? Who can save a marriage, lift depression, mend broken heart, or heal emotional wounds? The answer to all these is Toma. You see, Toma said Bill Gates, Toma said Coca-Cola, and Toma now says the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. How do I contact them? Toma says 882-6767. How do I find out more? Toma again says, check out springfieldmfi.com. When the question is asked, it's Toma that answers. What is Toma? It's simply what comes to the top of the mind first when a question's asked. That's top of mind awareness, and it's priceless.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Once again, here are your hosts, WK and Ken Boyce.
Oh, we're back. We went into the break talking with Don from Springfield. Don, if you're out there, I know you like Dr. James Dobson and a couple of the others. If you have friends out there, tell them to turn on the radio, take a listen to us this morning. We've been talking about avoiding conflict or conflict resolution. We've been talking about the beginning of standing up for oneself, coming out of this philosophy of freedom, having self-respect, being able to say what you think, to be who you are, and to live in that freedom, to allow others to get to know the real you. Now, if we've been in this cycle of letting others run us over, whether it be our spouse, our boss, our kids, how do we get out of that? Remember, everything we've talked about, the life you've always wanted, that starts with me. And to be able to explain to someone else or to be able to stand up for yourself, there's a story, the way God has made you and me. If I do not want what you want, please try not to tell me that what I want is wrong. If I believe other than you, at least pause before you correct my view. Okay, we have to be able to do this for ourselves. We have to insert ourselves in our feelings. This is not sticking your nose where it doesn't belong. You belong with yourself. You belong to know yourself. If my emotion is less than yours, or more, given the same circumstances, try not to ask me to feel more strongly or more weak about it. These are my feelings. If I act or fail to act in the manner of your design for action, let me be. Let me be me. I do not, for the moment at least, ask you to understand me. That will come only when you're willing to give up changing me into a copy of you.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Let's read that one again. I do not, for the moment at least, ask you to understand me. That will come only when you're willing to give up changing me into a copy of you. That one could take some thought. I may be your spouse, your parent, your offspring, your friend, your colleague. If you will allow me my own wants or emotions, beliefs or actions, then you open yourself so that someday these things of mine might not seem so wrong and might finally appear to you as right, at least for me. To put up with me is the first step in understanding me.
It goes to the heart of a lot of things.
That goes to the heart of a lot of things right there. Not that you embrace my ways that is right for you, but that you are no longer irritated or disappointed with me for my seeing my wayward. I mean, this is my way. In understanding me, you might come to prize my differences from you, and far from seeking to change me, preserve, even nurture those differences. That last one there, if we begin to stand up for ourselves, get the respect, we may even get the admiration.
That's exactly right. This is a cry to be understood and to be accepted and to be valued in the relationship. Again, as Ken said, whether it's a spouse or parent or offspring or friend or colleague, whoever it is, it's a cry from someone saying, please, take the time, be patient, really seek to understand me, be accepting of me, and value what I think and how I feel. So many people today have that cry deep in their heart, and they're not voicing it. And you have to voice it. As we said last week, if I am being me and you are being you, then I am here and you are here and we could be here together. But if I am being who I think you want me to be, or you are being who you think I want you to be, then I'm not here, you're not here, so no one can be here together. Authenticity is absolutely key to having a relationship. Being present in the presence of each other is absolutely key to having a relationship. Asserting ourselves into this moment of time, into this situation, into this context, into this problem, into this conflict, means that we may come out of it not liked, but at least we'll be known, understood, and respected. Again, it's not important that we're liked. It is important that we are respected. So many people are involved in abusive relationships, and you don't know how to get out of it. Or perhaps you don't even know you're in one. You've been in one so long, perhaps all of your life, you went from abusive home to abusive marriage, and you just don't know the difference. Let me give you some characteristics of an abusive relationship so you'll know. And this is true whether you're male or female. And this abuse is whether physical or mental, can manifest itself in a lot of different ways. For instance, is your partner extremely jealous, attempting to break off your contact with other people? Do they engage in emotional withholding, or is there a lack of intimacy? Usually there is. Sexual coercion, infidelity, threats, lies, broken promises, or physical violence involved in the relationship? Does your partner glory in power plays and control games? Control and manipulation? Is there a lack of balance in your life as far as power is concerned in the relationship? Does your partner seek to control some, or usually it's all of your life? Are you sometimes afraid of your partner because of a look or a word? Does he put you down either in public or private? Or it could be, does she put you down either in public or private? Does he refuse to discuss upsetting occurrences with you, thus controlling the interaction? And do you believe that if he's angry, it's somehow your fault? Or do you believe that if she's angry, it's somehow your fault? All of these are characteristics of abuse. And the only way to get out of an abusive relationship is to be real, to stand up, to be someone to be contended with. I'm not saying do that in an unsafe circumstance or unsafe situation where literally your life may be in danger. There's a process to undergo to grow through that and to receive the help you need and to get out of that so that you can assert yourself.
If you're listening and you're wondering right now, how do I get out of this without getting killed? Because I think you struck a nerve with a lot of people just then.
Mm-hmm.
They're living under that fear with no idea of how to stand up. If you have that, write this number down or memorize it real quick. It's easy. 882-6767. 882-6767. That's the number of the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. WK, Ty, Leslie, Marty, they are there. And they will provide a roadmap for you to be able to get through this safely, to be able to come out and be able to stand up for yourself, to be able to do it in a safe manner. If you need that, it's there. And they know how to do it.
It is there.
So call 882-6767 to talk to one of them. You have to do that. We'll help.
Yes, I've had people come to my office. I had a lady come to my office one day, and she told me that her husband had hit her and never hit her before. As this one time. And in the course of that counseling session, she became a little stronger because of things that she understood and had learned. And she went back to her husband and told him, because she felt safe enough to do this, that if you ever hit me again, you're going to go to jail. If you ever hit me again, I'm going to press charges, and you will go to jail. A month later, she came back and told me, she said, you know, he's never hit me anymore. I also had another lady come, and her face was black and blue and yellow. It's still swollen from where her husband had pounded on her. And she needed to get out, but she didn't know how. So we worked with her and got her into a safe place where she could get the help she needed to get a life, her life back. And those are two entirely different situations. That's the reason I wanted to point those out.
Absolutely. But again, that's where WK, Marty, Ty, Leslie, they can help. This is not a life when you live being beaten down, not even knowing who you are anymore, and not knowing any way out.
And the point is, in all of this, whether there's overt abuse or whether it's covert abuse or emotional abuse, whatever it is, where you have felt beaten down and you felt like your life is not your own, it's important to know, regardless of the circumstance, you still have a choice. You still have a choice. Your life is your choice. You still have to do it. You still have to do it. No one can step in and do it for you. Someone once said, what you make of your life is up to you. You have all the tools and resources you need. What you do with them is up to you. The choice is yours. Now you have to believe that. You have to believe that. Those can't just be words. And when you start believing that, and you start reclaiming your life, there's nothing that makes up for that. There's nothing more empowering than discovering you have a life to live. And it's not as a doormat.
That's right. As we've said, it's your life. It's your choice. Make it a great one. It starts with us. Any relationship, whether it's ourselves, with other people, whether it's with our children, whether it's with our spouse, this is the beginning. This is W.K. Boyce, the Executive Director of the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And I'm Ken Boyce, the staff there, sales and marketing. And of course, you've heard me mention Leslie and Ty and Marty. Those are counselors that are also there that have a natural ability and a learned skill to be able to help people. They just do. That's who they are. At the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, we help in a wide range of ways. We were talking off the break here with Dan. Dan asked if WK did any speaking, any seminars. Absolutely. From the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, if you're a member of a company, one of the leaders of a congregation, and you want WK to come speak, give us a call. Call the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, 882-6767, and we'll set up a time and set up an event to come up and speak with you.
Absolutely, we will, yes.
If you want to check us out, go to springfieldmfi.com. Springfieldmfi.com. As we spoke earlier, of course, all the radio shows that you're listening to now are archived there. But also, there's a lot of resources and a lot of information there, whether it be premarital counseling, divorce recovery, grief. If you know someone that's been suffering for a long time for the loss of someone, we can help. But go to springfieldmfi.com and look us up. If you want to talk one-on-one with WK, you want to talk one-on-one with Marty, Leslie, or Ty, give us a call, 882-6767. It's your life.
Your choice. Make it a great one.
We'll see you.